You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Man, this day is flying by.
Flying by.
Little hump day.
The dogs do hump each other every day.
They do hump each other every day. That's exactly what dogs do. They have nothing else to do.
Two stories quickly.
So they just hump.
Every day.
Every day.
Last night, I miss John Grayson so much. Last night, two very good friends of ours invited us over for a taste of Portugal. And you know, Grayson moved to Portugal. Mm-hmm. Not only did they just go to Portugal, they went to exactly where John Grayson is living. And you guys, they brought back—
which is Porto.
Oh my gosh, they brought back port and ice cream and like just desserts.
How do you bring back ice cream?
Oh my gosh, it had this gelato. Oh my goodness, you guys. Anyway,
so basically, you're eating a lot of sardines.
Oh, there was tin fish. We had that last night.
Those are called sardines.
Well, over there, tin fish is a very, very big deal. And they went into this one area. It looked like a library. Picture, if you're squinting, a library full of books, like in Harry Potter. But when you look more closely, they are not books. It's tin fish. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them.
Sardines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so I texted Grayson last night, said, just hi, we all miss you, and we are toasting you tonight with some of the wonderful tastes from Portugal. It is now on my list. I want to go.
You should go.
Oh, the buildings just look incredible, and you've got a daughter getting ready to go to Spain.
She Maya leaves a week from today for 3 months in Spain.
So fun.
For a study abroad program. And I am petrified.
For Spain?
She's going solo.
How old is she?
21.
Okay.
She'll be fine. And that's coming from me.
I know. And one of my bucket list items, I think I told you guys this, has always been to see the Rock of Gibraltar, or just Gibraltar, period. And I was telling her, because I've never been, I said, you know, while you're there, you need to go to Gibraltar, which is on the south side of Spain.
Oh, there it is.
It's the property of Great Britain. A lot of people don't know that. And if you go to the top of the Rock of Gibraltar, so I've been told,
1,390 feet high,
you can see the continent of Africa, most notably the country of Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya is a passport stamper. She loves to travel. She wants to go to as many places as she can. Get her passport stamped. I can too. I remember on this most recent trip to Mexico, they actually stamped our passports, but the time prior, they did not, and I was annoyed. Because I want that stamp. But hang on, let me finish. She was like, well, then I'm going to Morocco. I go, not alone, you're not.
Why? Oh, I'm thinking of the other M word.
You're thinking of Monaco.
My daughter went to Monaco.
Oh, my God.
Totally different.
Didn't know. Okay.
That's basically a casino dressed as a small country.
The Rock of Gibraltar has something called the Pillars of Hercules. I've never heard this. In ancient times, the Greeks and Romans considered the rock of which you speak, along with the corresponding peak in Africa, to be the edges of the known world.
They were.
They thought, this is one edge. The rock here is where we are, and the other, and then what over there, you just fall off. That's what they thought. They called it the Pillars of Hercules.
There be dragons beyond.
Wow.
Massive sea creatures.
There's also military tunnels everywhere there. This huge network of military tunnels. You would love that.
Mm-hmm. Gibraltar? Oh, yeah. It was a major, has been for a long time, a major defensive fortress, if you will.
Well, whoever controls Gibraltar controls entrance into and out of the Mediterranean.
It can, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a porch thief that was caught, and I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but this person got 6 months. Six, which usually they get 0 months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what they took and why they got so many months. A Kansas City, Kansas man was caught, convicted, and sentenced to 6 months in jail after he was convicted in the attempted theft stemming from the porch theft of an Amazon package. Now, keep in mind, he goes to steal this thing. He has no idea what's in it. And he is hoping, like the Wheel of Fortune, it comes around and he's winning a grand prize to the Rock of Gibraltar. You want to know what was inside that thing? A $6 plush toy for some kid. $6. 6 months Bye.
Jeez.
Philip Daniel Pemberton, if that's even your real name, entered a no contest plea.
Well, I would bet it is his real name.
In early April, was sentenced on Friday. No contest. It happened back on September 26th. A Leavenworth County resident discovered that a package had been stolen from his porch. Victim then looked at the Ring doorbell camera. And according to investigators, the video showed a man approaching the residence, taking the package containing approximately $10 worth of costume jewelry, along with a child's folding chair nice. Before leaving the area. And this chair!
I mean, no contest. I get it. You have all of the pleading options for all cases. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But no contest seems like a really odd one for a porch pirate case.
You got me.
I'm not saying I didn't steal the package, but I'm not saying I didn't not steal the package either.
Even though you have me on Ring doorbell camera stealing the child's chair.
I acknowledge that you have evidence
I know
that will show my guilt.
That you know That's that no I contest. Know that you know. Listen to this.
Have you ever had something stolen off your porch?
No. Quoting here from the DA. While the value of the stolen item may appear to be small, porch thefts create frustration and a sense of violation.
I agree.
For victims in their own neighborhoods.
Yep.
I do not understand the random Amazon in front of a Ring doorbell camera porch theft, and here's why. Well, let's look it up. What do you think the average single Amazon package is worth? And it's going to be $10. I'm telling you right now.
$15, $16.
$15 tops.
Yeah.
Most people, when you're Amazon, it's going to be a book. We had a book come to the house last night.
T gets all of her makeup through Amazon.
What are you possibly going to get, knowing you're going to be caught on Ring doorbell? Mm-hmm. No one is Amazoning gold bullion to their door.
The average Amazon package is worth $45.
Oh.
Are there multiple packages in one box? Because I disagree with that.
Amazon says the average Amazon package is worth $45.
Okay. So let's say that this is true. You are going to knowingly go in front of a Ring doorbell camera to swipe something, and you don't know what's inside, where the average is going to net you $45.
If you can resell it.
If you can resell it.
Or they're using it for themselves and not having to go to the store to buy it.
You don't
themselves.
Know what's in it.
Sponges, dish rag.
But Dan, my gosh.
If it's costume jewelry and a doll.
$10.
I'll throw that in the trash.
It's random roulette. Who knows what's going to be in this box? I'm taking it, you know.
And you're willing to risk 6 months of your life.
That's what I don't understand. Like, I'm not saying we should be ranking what types of thefts would maybe net you something that's worth something. We're not going to play that game. But in the scheme of things that you could take, knowing that you're running the risk of going to jail for 6 months, whatever, the random Amazon package outside of somebody's door in suburbia, there is no return on investment there.
My guess is that some of them, not all of them, some of them are hoping that there's prescription drugs in there that they may be able to take.
The reason that the Amazon packages average about $45 is because not everybody has Prime, and to get free shipping, you have to spend at least $35.
So what you need is a Ring doorbell camera and a sign that says, "We have Prime."
Who doesn't have a Ring doorbell camera?
What if you order the Ring doorbell camera, it's delivered, and then someone steals it?
I don't think that's how it works, Dan.
What's in this box? I'm taking it.
I'm taking it.
It's Ring doorbell camera.
You got me.
I mean, even if you don't have a Ring doorbell camera, your neighbor does. Everybody, we were talking about the facial recognition thing at Disney.
Don't you surveil me.
You cannot walk down the street without being filmed, either by your neighbors or in some places by the city. Everywhere you go, you're on camera. Everywhere.
At a concert?
You're on camera.
When we come back, there is a lawsuit. It is of a very, very serious nature. However, you are going to roll your eyes. This is a story that will drive you up a wall. Something happened at a concert.
Okay.
And parents are now suing.
Of course they are.
Whose responsibility is it to make sure your young concert goer is safe and protected in the mosh pit?
911.
Yeah.
You didn't say mosh pit until just now. 913.
That takes me back.
586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right. Are you ready for a quick geography quiz?
Yes.
Geography quiz. Some are easy, some are hard. You can depend on Sam, if necessary, as a lifeline.
Can I look at the map?
You may not look at the map.
Okay.
All right. It wouldn't even help you with some of these. Which U.S. city is known by the nickname the Circle City?
The Circle City, mm-hmm. Ohio.
Which city...
Oh.
You even said the Circle City, Ohio.
It's the only state that looks like a city.
No, it doesn't.
But you said city.
Which city is known as the Circle City?
Correct.
I have no idea.
Indianapolis.
Why?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm just asking the question.
We're here to educate people.
What is the capital of Missouri?
Jeff City.
Okay. Which U.S. river is the largest by volume?
Missouri.
No.
Mississippi.
That is correct.
I don't know any other rivers. That's good.
Okay. What is the capital of Hawaii?
Honolulu.
Okay. What is the capital of Washington State?
Olympia.
That is correct. Dan's so proud.
I know these because I studied these in second grade. We had to know them.
Which U.S. city is known as the Queen City of the South.
The Queen City of the South.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds like New Orleans.
Mm. Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Which U.S. river is the longest tributary of the Mississippi River?
Missouri.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the desert that covers southeastern California?
Sahara. Mojave.
The Colorado Desert.
Why is the Colorado Desert in California? It should be in Colorado. Duh.
What is the capital of Arkansas? Just
Juneau.
Let it go.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, Arkansas.
Mm. Juneau. No, that one's on the island.
The island of Alaska.
Arkansas is Little Rock.
Juneau. No, it's Juneau. Good grief. Which U.S. state is the only U.S. state that borders only one other state?
Oh, God.
Oh, I know.
Only one other state.
It has a border, but with only one U.S. state.
It's going to have to be in New England. It's going to have to be in the Northeast.
Right track.
Let's say New York.
That would not be correct.
Maine.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay.
What is the capital of Michigan?
Lansing.
That is correct. Which U.S. state is known as the Ocean State?
The Ocean State? Mm-hmm. Well, that would be... Florida.
No.
A lot of ocean there.
There is.
There's
also
a
lot of ocean.
You started the M sound.
I think we were going with Montana or Missouri.
Okay.
A lot of ocean.
Ocean State. One more guess. What's?
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
East Coast.
New York.
No.
Connecticut.
No. But you're getting warmer.
Rhode Island.
That is correct.
Okay.
And lastly,
like, you know, all the state's mottos.
I don't, I'm just giving the quiz.
Okay, go ahead.
What U.S. state is home to Red Rock Canyon?
Come on.
Red Rocks is, Arizona.
Oh,
no, I've been there. Red Rocks.
Actually, Red Rocks is in Colorado.
Colorado. I saw Willie Nelson there.
Can you hear Dan laughing out in the newsroom? Red Rock Canyon, not Red Rocks.
Oh, Nevada.
That is correct.
Look at me.
Can we go back to why the Colorado Desert is in California?
No, I don't want to talk about it, Sam. It's stupid. Whoever came up with that idea is dumb.
Okay.
Why?
Because of the Colorado River.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense that no one ever.
Okay. You have a story about a concert?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Red Rocks. Yeah. It's actually a Live Nation story. And I'm the last person in the world that would defend Live Nation. I think Live Nation has become, you know, yeah. It's
synonymous with rip you off.
It's just not good.
Yep.
However, there is a lawsuit alleging that Live Nation had a duty and then failed in its duty to protect a teenager who was sexually assaulted at one of their amphitheaters. Terrible story. No question about it, Scott.
Yeah.
No question about it. However, Tinley Park, Illinois is your dateline. A civil lawsuit claims that when a minor buys a ticket to a concert, the concert venue is responsible for protecting her. They allege Live Nation, which owns Credit Union One Amphitheater in Tinley Park, failed to protect a teenage girl from being assaulted by an 18-year-old college student.
What city is this in again?
Illinois.
Okay.
Somewhere. Tinley Park holds about 28,000 fans for its concert. They had big crowds last July for Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul. But attorney Molly Wells, attorney for the 16-year-old girl, says an 18-year-old college student assaulted her young client in a restricted area of the venue. She says it's a life-changing event that happened that will never be undone, and I do not doubt that for a minute, that this young girl is going to live with this for the rest of her life, right?
Yep.
So attorneys have filed a lawsuit on behalf of the girl and her parents, claiming negligence on the part of Live Nation. Among the allegations are the amphitheater failed to provide adequate security to identify and protect against predatory behavior. It also failed to prevent alcohol from being served to a minor, this says. We don't even have to make this about Live Nation. You can make this about anywhere where you allow your teenagers to go.
A Chiefs football game.
Worlds of Fun.
Royals.
Any concert.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible things happen
every
day in the United States. Whose job is it to protect you from those horrible things? Now, if it's like a up the skirt peeping Tom because you are a business that refuses to put the dividers all the way down in the dressing room, I think that's on the business. But when you are in charge of a concert where, by their own admission, there are almost 28,000 people.
Man, that's 28,000
people. How many security guards do you think there are at any given concert?
Several hundred.
30,000? That's way bigger than the Sprint Center.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger.
Sprint Center.
Twice. It's twice as big as the Sprint Center.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
How are you going to have security?
But let's take it in another direction. Who is responsible for you at one of these venues? So let's say that I get drunk out in the parking lot.
Okay.
And I'm in the concert venue, and I'm 18 years old. I'm not legally allowed to drink, but I have been drinking. And I get sick, or I fall down the stairs. Is that on the venue? What if I get into a fight? Somebody's just walking down the concourse and punches me in the face.
Yep.
How do you provide security against that? It's impossible. At some point, you have to be responsible for yourself. And I'm not victim blaming here at all.
And let me be clear. The criminal justice system is taking care of the offender. He was indicted in February.
As it should.
Indicted in February.
Okay. Where were her friends? Where were her friends?
Scott, I don't know. I think she went there with another mom. But again, how many times when our kids were little
Don't ever go anywhere by yourself.
No, or mom would say, we're going to go to Billie Eilish, okay? She's coming into town. She's allowed to bring three friends. Mm-hmm. How many times did you say, oh, absolutely, you're going with a mom, go.
Yeah.
Even though you're like, stay together. What do you always say? Stay together.
That's right.
I just don't know how a venue can be held legally responsible for something awful like this happening.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. From the text line, this is from 5505. The venue provides physical security. They provide the cameras. They provide the pat-downs when you walk through security. But how can they protect against behaviors that they can't either see or anticipate? And I think that's a fair point. You know, I can't believe you and I are both coming to the defense of Live Nation here, a company that I am not a huge fan of because of the way that they it's a monopoly, let's be honest with what it is. But you just because you're in a certain place doesn't mean that that place is necessarily responsible for everything and anything that happens to you.
So go back to the term you just used. It wasn't foreseeable. What did they use? What did the guy say?
Against behavior that they can't always witness or anticipate.
Okay, so take the word anticipate, and then let's go back to my analogy about Forever 21, which if you look up Forever 21, Peeping Tom, sure. Upskirt Dressing Room, you will get a trillion results. And here's why. That company was known for having male and female dressing rooms, just one huge bay of dressing rooms.
And the wall didn't go all the way to the floor.
The divider would stop like right at your calf height. And men started going into the dressing rooms to take upskirt photos of women. And then they would go on the dark web and they would tell all of their other pervy friends, hey, go here, this, right? Yeah. So when you look at foreseeable in that case and in other similar cases, hell yes, that's foreseeable because across the country, they had like 100 cases of this happening, including one right here. So is it foreseeable? Maybe not after number one, but after number 50, those victims should have sued and won. In this case, a sex assault, as awful as that is, how do you say to Live Nation that is foreseeable in the way of my Forever 21 example? It's not.
You would have to be able to anticipate other people's bad behavior, which, as you know and I know, is impossible. Not impossible, but extremely hard to do. But what would you say? Put your attorney hat on for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say if at take Forever 21 as the example, if the dressing rooms were specifically identified as male and female, and a male went into the female dressing room
less anticipated.
And upskirted somebody?
Way less foreseeable.
Because they've now gone, I don't want to say out of their way, but they've created a policy, if you will, for lack of a better term.
Where we've got a divider, we've got a clerk there that takes the number of items.
If you're a man, you're not supposed to go in the female dressing room, just like with a female bathroom or a male bathroom.
Is it foreseeable then that the male was going to go over there and do what he did? And I would say it's less foreseeable.
Less likely.
And certainly after those cases started piling up, right?
Yeah.
I'm still mad about that. Anyway. I was so glad when they shut down.
Here's a classic example. I remember, speaking of Rob Zombie, at that Ozzy Osbourne concert, there was somebody who was sitting right in front of Brenninger and me, and they were wasted. And I mean...
hammered.
Oh, could barely stand up. And vomited on the two rows in front of them.
Oh, gross!
I swear. I saw it and I was like, oh, dang. Then Sprint Center, it was Sprint Center at the time, are they liable because somebody came in and was hammered and got sick?
We've seen this before with bartenders being sued. And
I don't think that's fair.
I think in the case where someone is bellied up to the bar and a bartender serves them 21 shots, yes, that is foreseeable. The cases I don't agree with, and we had this happen in, was it Florida a couple years ago? Someone was bar hopping from bar A to B to C to D and then got in a wreck in a golf cart or something and someone died.
That's right.
How is that foreseeable? If you're the fourth bartender, did you even see, like the waitress takes the order? The only time where I truly think someone could be held liable is if it is one stop and you are sitting in front of the bartender and that bartender just keeps pouring double bourbons for an hour.
But lawyers would argue... As a bartender, you are trained, or at least should be trained, to recognize the signs of intoxication. And it's I don't agree with this. I'm just playing devil's advocate. And it's on you to monitor the people that come into your bar. Sure, you don't know if they've been to three bars prior.
But once they're there, it's on you to know what they're...
It's on you to recognize, you know, the slurring speech or unable to maintain their posture or, you know, whatever.
And you are trained on all of that when you get your liquor license.
Yeah.
They tell you what signs to look out for.
What are they? Do you know?
I don't remember off the top of my head. It's been a while since I've had to renew my liquor license.
Well, that doesn't help.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, if you're struggling to get your words out and I were to have sold you a pint of vodka and you went and killed a family of four and they pull up the security cameras, which have audio, and hear that you're saying, yeah, I'll take a pint of vodka.
Yeah.
And I sell it to you, but then I'm in trouble.
But what if you tell me, and I'm the bartender, you, Sam, come in and you're drunk, or I think you're buzzed, and you tell me that you're taking an Uber home. Do you not have the right
to be drunk?
To get drunk in America?
Not without liability being in play.
Hmm.
There is no guarantee. I could tell you I'm taking an Uber all day long. That's not going to hold up in court.
Yeah. Somebody in the text line, and I've heard these stories before, my wife and I were peed on in the seats at Kemper years ago.
Gross!
I remember.
Oh my gosh, gross!
Years ago, and I don't remember. Well, I do know. I know oh exactly who it was. We had a gal that worked here who was at, it was either George Strait or Kenny Chesney at Arrowhead. And the show hadn't even started yet.
Yeah.
And they were way up in the nosebleeds at Arrowhead. And she said, I felt something wet.
Oh, gross.
I'm not making this up.
It was wet. It was warm.
And she turned around and there was a man standing up right behind her peeing on her.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That is assault. Oh, that, and
it's
battery.
It's more than that. That's battery.
Gross.
She obviously left.
You think?
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, whoever the promoter was of that tour, she did get her money back for the tickets. But, you know, these are like $150, $200 tickets.
Maybe he thought she was cold. Was it cold that day?
Oh, my God.
Well, if it was at Arrowhead, I doubt it.
Gross. The only time it's ever okay to pee on anyone
is... I beg your pardon?
Yes. Yes. When you get stung by a jellyfish.
Is that a myth?
I don't know, but I think that's the one time you're supposed to pee on somebody.
Are you?
But only if they ask.
And what's your source? The show Friends?
No, my parents live in Biloxi. There's jellyfish everywhere down there.
There was a scene in Friends where...
I did not see that episode.
I think Joey peed on Monica because she had been stung by a jellyfish.
So you can pee on a jellyfish sting.
Can you pee on someone?
You can?
It will not help.
But you can
do it. Yeah,
hang on. Oh, no, you should not pee on a jellyfish sting.
You can.
Anybody can.
Yeah. I swore that
help.
My grandfather told me years ago.
Can you pull up that Friends
was
scene?
That as he was peeing on your jellyfish sting or after?
No.
Gross.
Okay.
Gross.
Listen to this from Brown Health University. Peeing on a jellyfish sting and other urology myths. How many urology myths can there be? A sting from the tentacles of a jellyfish can cause significant pain. Although some say peeing on it will help reduce the pain, there are better and more sanitary ways by rinsing the area with salt water.
Mm. So just get back in the ocean.
Kidney stones are not hereditary. True or false?
False.
False. They are linked to several factors, and one of them is family history. I'm not going to read that one. Prostate cancer only occurs in old men. True or false?
False.
That is absolutely correct. Okay, first of all, Brown Health. There's only 5 urology myths, and I'm not the only one of any interest is the jellyfish one.
Well, I think the prostate one is interesting.
Don't most people know you can get prostate cancer at any age? You can get breast cancer at any age. Men can get breast cancer.
That is true.
Oh, damn the jellyfish!
Gotta do something.
Well, there's really only one thing you can do.
What? What is it?
You're gonna have to pee on it.
What? Gross!
Don't blame me. I saw it on the Discovery Channel.
You know what? He's right. There's something like ammonia in that that kills the pain.
Well, forget it. It doesn't hurt that bad!
If you want some privacy, you can use my hole.
Aw, today is National Rescue Dog Day.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, that's not nice.
What? I'll have to give Barb an extra treat when I get
home.
What do
you mean that's not nice?
3 million dogs are brought into animal shelters every year.
Oh, you're saying National Rescue Dog Day
Only
is not nice.
Only 2 million end up getting adopted.
Yeah, I know. The math does not math.
That means you're...
We have a loving, wonderful foster community, and Jamie Monticelli's a foster here in Kansas City. And we also have people like Carrie Scott, who will drive to the ends of the earth in the United States to pick up a dog to save it from that fate.
For the rest of my life, as long as I live, I will only get a dog from the pound.
Yeah, you have had very good luck.
Stella was from the pound. Lizzie's from the pound. Both have been perfect dogs. Except the one time we were in Mexico and Lizzie pooped in the basement. But other than that, she's been a perfect dog. Cher is celebrating her 80th birthday today. Cher.
Wow.
80 years old.
She does not look 80 years old.
Nope. According to a new global study, 1 in 5 workers feels severely underpaid and that they're due a huge pay raise. They surveyed 4,000 employed adults in the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Singapore, and Australia. 18% believe that their pay cannot satisfy them, and they would need a 32% pay increase in order to feel like they were being paid enough. Only a third believe that they work at organizations that practice pay transparency, either informally or through a formal policy. And if they were on the job hunt and prospective employers did not offer pay transparency, 37% said they would ask to be part, the transparency be part of their contract. Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. are we supposed to know what everybody in the building is getting paid?
Oh, you know they hate that. We all know someone who had that thing happen where someone accidentally prints off the salaries and leaves it on the printer.
Yep.
That's why I quit my first job.
Yep. I can't say where I was when that happened, and I was not the one that found it, but a girlfriend of mine found it.
Here or at Channel 5?
It was not at KNBC.
I had worked at this place for 2 years. I had done all of the training to get a quarter raise. I was told a quarter raise each training. I had done 9 trainings. I was told each time they didn't have it in the budget. Then they printed off the schedule 1 week and posted it, and I was the first one to go look at it.
That's right.
And I handed it back to my manager and quietly said, I'm going to save you from everyone else quitting, and I'm going to let you know that I'm putting in my 2 weeks. And they offered me a raise, and I said, I wasn't worth it yesterday. I'm not worth it today.
Oh, look at you.
Really?
Good for you, Samuel. Yep.
So in the 2 years that you had worked there, you got a $2.25 raise?
In the 2 years that I had worked there, I got a 25-cent raise. I was supposed to get a $2.25 raise because of all of the trainings that I had done.
Oh, so you only got paid for one of them?
Yep. They told me every time it wasn't in the budget. And then I found out that people that I was training were making $2 more, $3 more than I was.
You know why you weren't in the budget? Because they were.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Boston Red Sox in town, by the way, at Kansas City, 6:40 tonight. Know what I'm doing tonight?
Let me guess. Watching the Royals baseball game?
If I could turn back time.
80 years old today.
80 years old. How about that?
Sam Stevie III is our producer, finest man in these United States. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.